Your family is invited to experience Easter with Word of God Ministries. We begin with an inspiring night of worship on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. Return the next day for Resurrection Celebration from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ferris wheel, super slide, petting zoo, food vendors, and more for only $5 per person on Easter Sunday. Join the Word of God family for worship at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. on the Shreveport campus, or at 9:45 a.m. at the new Bossier campus located at the Boardwalk Regal Cinema. We hope to see your entire family at these exciting Easter weekend events and services.
Word of God Ministries is your place to feel connected, loved, and empowered. Join us for worship and incredible teaching at any of our weekly services. Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. Find your place at Word of God Ministries, located at 6645 Industrial Loop, Shreveport, Louisiana. For more information, visit WOGM.com or watch live at live.wogm.com.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've got the proof in his word.
I love the victor mindset. What's done when I win? You see what he's saying here? He said, hey, what's given to the winner? What's given to the victor? See, the victor goes into a fight, won't know what the spoil is going to be. What's the end going to be? What's going to happen when I win this thing? But the victor looks at it and only all they see is what they might lose. The victim's always worried about losing something. The victor's always thinking about gaining something. Victim says, wow, we can't do that. What might happen? Let me tell y'all something. My goodness. Olive Tav, I know it's next year, but we're already planning the year after that. And we're going to announce the year after that this next year. And when you see what's coming the year after next, Lord willing, because I know you can't say on tomorrow you're going to do anything, but if the Lord delay his coming, my goodness. Hey. Ooh. See, I want to be victor in this city. I want to be victor for the glory of God. I can't help what's going on in the world. I just figured it's a good opportunity for God to arise. Hallelujah. And just make his big name big in every circumstance, in every situation. Let's believe God for something bigger, something better, something brighter, something more glorious. You can look at life two ways. What might I lose? What might I gain? You're either going to be victor or victim. But the victor says, hey, what happens when this thing goes down? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I'm thinking about that's good, Holy Ghost. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those. When you seek God and you move by faith, there's a reward. So if there's a reward, why are you being victim? If there's a reward, you take on the mindset of victor. I've got the victory in this. He says, so what's given when I take this man out? Watch this. And he says, well, you'll get great riches. You'll get the king's daughter. And his father's house free in Israel. That means basically no taxes ever. Glory to God. Man, no taxes. You might be able to deal with an ugly woman for that right there. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding, because no women are ugly. Hallelujah. Oh, everybody's beautiful. And everybody's beautiful in somebody's eyes. That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, everybody leaving and getting mad like what happened Sunday over Walmart. All right, so now watch this. Verse number 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. In other words, that's what you'll get. That's victor. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? The older brother said, what are you doing out here? He was honoring his daddy. And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Now he's messing on how many sheep he's got. Come on, you only got a few sheep. What do you do? Where's your little few sheep? So look out, the enemy. The brother here now, discouraging and trying to put him in victim status. Where's your few sheep? The enemy's going to always try to belittle you and demean you. Hey, little sheep. Verse 28, I know thy pride. The enemy will always accuse you of what he's guilty of. It was a brother that had the pride, not David. And the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? So we now see this is a pattern in David's house. And he says, is there not a cause? And what this means is why are we fighting about this? There's a bigger cause than our disputes. The victim will absorb himself in drama, overlooking the bigger fight. Oh, yes, there are people every day that are so caught up in other folks' drama. They all over Facebook. They all over social media. They texting about everybody, their mama and their brother and their cousin. Gotta. They can't talk about other folk enough. They just love drama. They just love drama. They just always a magnet to drama. Drama, drama, drama. But there's a bigger picture going on. You are being dramatic while your marriage is going down the tube. You are being dramatic while your children are failing at school and are in the streets. You are missing big battles while you get caught up in family drama. You don't have time for family drama when there's big issues that are facing you. Get out of everybody's business. You don't have time to be in everybody's business. On the phone, it's my husband, I tell you what I do. Your husband is watching ESPN and y'all ain't had a date night in 8 weeks. So get off the phone talking about what you would do if it was your husband and go do something good with your husband. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all see what I'm saying here? Okay, I know you would never admit to yourself, but do you know somebody that's so caught up in drama that they're missing the big picture? That's a picture of our society. Caught up in stuff that don't even matter. When there's a big enemy out there ready to take us out, we fighting over all kind of stuff that don't matter. Fussing and fighting about the church and this and that and the temperature and all this other stuff and the volume and all. Well, you know, I just think it's too loud. Wait, look here. You need to be able to hear the word. Cry loud and spare not. Everybody can't hear as good as you. Has this too many lights in that church? Look here. The first thing we know about God is that he is light. He loves light. He's got a rainbow around his throne. He loves colored lights. We look and point and get all caught up in stuff that don't even matter. What matters is how many people are getting saved, how many are getting baptized, how many are getting taught the word of God. That's the big picture. I'm caught in all a little bit of drama. Always looking for drama. You think you heard somebody say something. You, he's like, well, what'd you say? I wasn't saying nothing to you. So David's saying, why do we have to talk about sheep? Why don't we talk about how many sheep I have? Why don't we have to deal with my pride? Why don't we have to talk about our past? There's a bigger enemy right now. Is there not a cause? David is saying, why are we dealing with family drama when there's a real fight before us? It tells me that David's already won his personal battle. And I want to say this. You'll never defeat God's enemies if you can't defeat yours. That was a powerful statement, not because I said it. It's in his word. You're never going to defeat the big enemy when you can't even fight your little one. There are enemies that you can defeat, that you need to defeat, and then God will equip you to defeat his. Yes, amen. God sometimes will ask you to do things that are small and they seem insignificant, but that's all he wants you to do with that, and then he's got something bigger he's going to do. You just be faithful to do what he's called you to do. Fight the little things. Let God give you the anointing to do the big ones. So David's saying, is there not a cause? Why do we have to get caught up in this right now? Well, it looked like Goliath come out and the brothers over here fighting about how many sheep they got. And we'll fight about the dumbest things. Even on the way to church, we'll get in a fight about something. Don't have nothing to do with nothing. I don't know why you had to wear those jeans. You don't have to wear no, you don't have no other jeans? Why wear them jeans? You wear them jeans all the time. Got holes in them. Look back and say, because they're holy. And we just get caught up and say, well, we got to stop at McDonald's. We always eat McDonald's. Can't we stop at Burger King? Don't go there. You're going to church. There's something bigger going on here. I don't have time to keep on with this. Watch this. Verse 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Glory to God. Now, so Saul said, hey, well, come on over here, little boy. You want to fight? I'll equip you for the fight. Now watch what David did. I'm all out of time. My goodness. Somebody said, no, I'm not. All right then. Don't tempt me to do good. Watch verse 26. What verse, man? Well, y'all said, take my time. I'm backing up. I'm going to squeeze the lemon again. It's more juice in it. All right, we'll squeeze it next week. Here we go. All right, y'all tell me, what verse, man? Okay, 30. And he turned at 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. In other words, he's been fighting longer than you've been alive. That's what Saul meant. He's been fighting longer than you've been alive. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, where I got a lamb from, and a bear, and took a, oh, there's a lamb, and a lamb out of the flock. I'm wiping the sweat out of my eyes. I'm seeing double vision here. Verse 35, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he went, and when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised don't have a covenant with God Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Notice what the victor always does. He recalls past victories. The victor's always thinking about how God did something in the past. The victim will always bring up past failures. That won't work. I tried that 3 years ago. But see, the victor's always saying, wait a minute, I got something to pull from my past. I remember how God answered that prayer in the past. I remember how he brought me through that in the past. And that's what the victor's always pulling from victory. So David said, now I got some victory in my past, and I've watched the Lord work, and I know he can handle this. Glory to God. And David said in verse 37, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and he's dressing up like his enemy. He's dressing, that's what his enemy had on. We read it earlier, that's the same stuff the enemy was wearing. That's the same stuff the enemy was wearing. He's saying, hey, use the enemy's tactics. Put on what the enemy got on. You can't use what the enemy uses. You can't use what your enemy's using. You got to use something that the enemy's not using. Why don't we try to do what the enemy's doing? Jesus already told you, don't use what the enemy's using. And notice here, not only was he using something that the enemy had, it's like watching the enemy. I'm gonna do what the enemy's doing. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor. Now the sword was his, but that other stuff wasn't. And he essayed to go. In other words, I'm gonna go in what the king put on me. But for he had not proved it And David said unto Saul, wait a minute, I can't go with this. I can't go with this. I've not proved this. I didn't have this on when I defeated the bear. I didn't have this on when I defeated the lion. This ain't what I used before. Oh, my God. Hey, y'all hear what I'm saying to you. I can't go. It's not been tested. You're trying to get me to fight the biggest battle of my life using something I have no experience with. I got to go with what has worked in my life. Saul wanted him to wear what he had on so that if he won, Saul could look back and say, yeah, I knew I had that armor specially made. My greatest craftsman formed that helmet and that uniform. Yes, David, yes, you were able to accomplish great things because of the uniform I gave you. Honey, when God gives you this victory, no man can take the credit for what God is going to do through you. It won't have anything to do with what was manufactured by a man. Folk will try to give you things and do things and give you advice, and I do it this way. Only so if you get victory, they glory in it. But God wants to do something in you that's tailor-made for you, that has his signature on it given to you. They say, no, I got to go with what I've gone with in the past. Hallelujah. He said, I can't go with this. And David said, I cannot go with these, verse 39, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Took that stuff off. I ain't got time for this mess. He took his staff in his hand. Ooh, hallelujah. And he's going to use the staff to go down to the brook in the valley. Hallelujah. And he's going to use that staff to get something out of the brook. Hey, when you're in the valley, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Why? The staff gives you the ability to reach for things you couldn't have reached for before. To pull things out you couldn't have pulled out before. Glory to God. Thy staff, it comforts me. Whoa, my goodness. We don't know how deep that brook was, but he's got a staff. He's reaching for stones out of a brook, using that crook on that staff. Pull that. Ooh, that's a good rock. Let me pull that out. The staff is a type of Holy Ghost. The rod is a type of word. It is short. It's bigger. It's hard. You beat the enemy off with it. But that staff is long and slender. It reaches those sheep when they get caught out of arm's reach. That staff goes further than the rod does. See, sometimes you get out from under the word, the rod, but you can't get out from under the staff. It'll reach you wherever you are. My God, are y'all hearing what I'm saying up in here? Well, he's out of church. He's out of God's word. Hey, that rod may not reach him, but that staff still can. They said, let me use my staff here. Let me grab something I couldn't have reached for before. Let me pull something out my body couldn't have done, my mind couldn't have done. He grabbed him some smooth stones. Woo! We got to close right here. We're out of time. We'll pick them next week, but unless y'all want to just keep on going. Let's keep on going. It's too good. Let's keep on going. It's good. Woo, hallelujah. So watch this. He took that staff and he pulled him out some stones out of the brook. Now, why did he get stones out of a brook? If you've ever been around a brook, because I have, you'll grab the rocks on the edge of the brook and you'll take the rock and skip rocks. I love skipping rocks. Up in Colorado, teaching my children how to skip a rock. My wife kept not believing it because I'd skip that rock all the way across the creek and it'd land on the bank. She said, they didn't do it. I said, let me do it again, girl. Look here, you don't know what you married when you married me. I'm going to skip this rock. She said, do it again. I said, I'll do it again. Let me find me the right rock. All the way across. I said, baby. A rock skipper. Preacher. True story. True story. I got pictures to prove it. Had to put it on video. They couldn't even count how many times it skipped. It skipped over 20 times before it landed on the bank. I'm a professional rock skipper. But the rocks on the edge of the brook are not round. They're not smooth. the rocks in the brook are round and smooth because of the turbulence and the current of the water works that rock against other rocks. It churns it and churns it until all the rough particles get off that rock and it's perfectly smooth and round. You see, there's a word that's on the bank and it's rough. There's a word in the river where the Holy Ghost has smoothed that word out and given that word the ability for you to use it in warfare. When you see the rock here represents words. When the enemy's coming at you, you can't pull out words you don't understand the meaning of. You can't pull out scriptures you have no conviction of. You got to speak the words that the Holy Ghost gave you. Hey, what you say, I got to pull something that's been churning in me, working in me, something the Holy Ghost has developed in me. Woo! We got to hurry and get this enemy dead so we can go home. Watch this. He grabbed him 5 smooth rocks. Hallelujah. You can aim better with a smooth rock. You can direct a smooth rock. So he where am I? What verse? Help me. 40. Here we go. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Oh, I need more time. The shepherd's bag. Why you put the rocks in a shepherd's bag? The shepherd's bag was a bag that was made out of lamb skin that had been sacrificed. When the lamb was sacrificed, they'd take his skin and make a bag like a purse. And so he put the stones in a purse made of lamb skin that was sacrificed. He put that word in a sacrifice, my God. He put that word in a type of Jesus, the Lamb of God. He put them rocks in that shepherd's bag. Because why? When he gets to battle, he's going to reach inside that sacrificial lamb skin. The skin that was used to clothe Adam after he had sinned. This thing is deep. Deep, deep. I ain't got time to tell how deep it is. And that's what I'm going to do when my enemy comes at me. I'm going to reach in my shepherd's bag. This is my shepherd's bag. I'm going to reach in here. Pull me out a word. Put it on my mouth. And speak it in the name of Jesus. And watch my enemy fall for the glory of God. We almost there. We almost there. Here we go. Watch this. Verse number 41. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him and said, "And well, you were number of youth." And he was mocking him because of his skin color and his fair radiance and all this other stuff. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that you came out here with a staff?" But see, he didn't know what that staff had done drew him. It just looked like he had a staff. He didn't know what the staff brought him. Y'all ain't understanding. He said, "You gonna come at me with a staff?" We know a few verses earlier that staff was used to bring what would kill Goliath. See, he's looking at the staff. He don't know what the staff gave him. You looking at what's in my hand, but you don't know what that gave me. My God. Whoa! Hallelujah. You're going to judge me by this staff. You don't know what just happened while you wasn't looking. This staff is what drew out what's going to take you down. What you going to do? You go to your little prayer closet? Oh, you going to mop my prayer closet? What you don't know is what's going to come out of that prayer closet. Oh, there she go again. With her little Bible, always on her desk. You don't know what I'm getting out of that Bible. You don't understand what I'm getting out of this thing. Hallelujah, I'm a warrior. I'm a victor. You don't know who you're messing with.
The message you were listening to was taken from a series entitled The Warrior Mindset. Now, in this series, we're talking about the difference between being victim and being victor. Do you know the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? It is vital that we understand how to walk in the victory of faith. So many people relate to being a victim, to being broken, defeated, down, depressed, oppressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less. It's time for you and I to adopt a victor mindset. This series will show you exactly how to do that.
Next week on Ministering the Word broadcast.
You ain't here. This victory is still bringing, it's still a footstool. Y'all getting your own footstool off of this footstool. You don't know how your victory is going to, what it's going to do for future generations. And there's some devils that's going to flee from you when you get some victory in your life in the name of Jesus.
Family is invited to experience Easter with Word of God Ministries. We begin with an inspiring night of worship on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. Return the next day for Resurrection Celebration from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ferris wheel, super slide, petting zoo, food vendors, and more for only $5 per person. On Easter Sunday, join the Word of God family for worship at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. on the Shreveport campus, or at 9:45 a.m. at the new Bossier campus located at the Boardwalk Regal Cinema. We hope to see your entire family at these exciting Easter weekend events and services.